Broadcasting once again from the Cabaret Kingdom. This is the Coin Reject, episode 32. All right, we're back, and I'm sitting around the up and down cocktail with my fellow rejects.
I'm Jordan.
Brandon.
Ian.
And I'm Brian. And you can call us at
503-766-2263.
And a few people have called us at that very number.
Absolutely.
And we're going to play one of the voicemails right now.
Hello?
Is this the cocksucker residence?
God damn you, stop calling here.
Isn't this 4215 Pussy Way?
You bitch!
Now let me check the zip code. 212, fuck you!
The police are tracing this call this very minute.
Well, Dottie Hinkle, then why aren't they here, huh? Fuckface, fuck you!
Sorry.
Hey, guys. Loving the podcast, as usual. A little bit behind. I just finished the June episode and a little bit of the July episode because I needed to find out the number. I don't see the number anywhere on your social media. Anyway, this is KLOV member Stefron, STFRON, and I'm using an Atari as my avatar. I think Atari symbol. I haven't been on there in a while, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Anyway, I heard you guys kind of gave me a shout out at the June one. This is the Frogger guy from Milwaukee. I wanted to give you an update. I called you guys. I think maybe somebody had smoked my high score, which was not really that good. Like, I had like 12 or 13,000. And I went back the next day, and somebody had already gotten it, like 15,000. So I was like, man, I didn't even get my name on the board with that. So a couple of weeks later, just practicing. A couple of weeks later, I had the right amount of Miller Lite in me and a couple of bourbons. And, man, it was just smooth, and everything was working fine. And I got the high score back, and it still stands at 29,800 and something, which was, I finally ended up dying on the 10th level. So that was 10 levels in. And it's still there. Probably good for 4 or 5 months, I think, now I'm standing there on the high score. But, hey, man, you know, I need a favor from you guys. You guys didn't have the answer when I called last time, and I'm hoping somebody out there in Coin Rejects podcast world can figure this out for me. It'd be really helpful. I asked this last time on a score, and it's definitely not based on any particular place in the game, because sometimes they'll speed up halfway through the second board, and sometimes they won't speed up until the third or fourth board. But there's a certain point in the game where all of a sudden it just decides to speed up, and the car's making a lot more faster noise and everything, so... Looking forward to hearing some insight from the people out there, and keep it up. And I really enjoy hearing that guy's voicemail from, I don't know if he's from Australia or UK or some island up somewhere. But anyway, he's a fun guy to listen to. All right, guys, take it easy and keep up the good work. We'll see you.
That's cool, man. I would say if you want to get deep into the game mechanics, probably the Twin Galaxies forums or the Donkey Kong forums are the place. Go check that out. Those folks go way deep into the game mechanics, and maybe someone knows, or if they don't, then maybe someone can look into it. I would check those places out and see if they've got your answer.
I would recommend the Frogger forum, not the Donkey Kong forum.
Yeah, exactly. The Frogger forum.
Of the Donkey Kong forum.
Yeah, I mean, Frogger is a, you know, huge classic age game, so I'm sure a lot of those, a lot of the competitive gamers definitely have gone at Frogger. But congratulations on your score. That sounds amazing. Since your call, I've played Frogger a few times, and I suck really bad. I mean, third level.
It's hard.
It's a hard game.
Third level? That's it?
That's it. Yeah.
God,
I suck. I don't know. I'm no good.
Sharp-looking cabinet, too, on that game.
Yeah.
Underrated.
Top wood grain.
I'm just going to throw out underrated. I think Frogger is underrated. I'm not saying I like it. I'm saying it's underrated.
The difficulty's definitely there.
That's the funny thing, is it's one of those classic games like Qbert, kind of, where it's really popular, but not a lot of people talk about it for some reason. So,
because it's common.
I believe it's underrated.
Yeah. And we can ask around. Maybe we're at Grinkfest. We'll hang out at the Frogger machine and see what's happening there.
Do they have a Frogger machine there?
They got to have a Frogger machine.
Yeah, that's one of those that it looks kind of unassuming until you kind of take a look at it, and it's got that extra... little bit of the art with the tire tread, and it's got the nice, super cool wood grain.
The tire tread goes through the control panel and the bezel and then up into the marquee. Very cool.
It's good. I ran one over with my car.
I was playing Frogger somewhere recently. What?
There was a coin jam.
Was it a coin jam? Okay, that's where.
Yep. It had the fat Wicko instead of the skinny Wicko. It's
supposed to have a skinny shaft Wicko?
Very skinny shaft.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a fun game. You would think girth. You would think that
name of your porno.
Minimal girth.
Yeah. Minimal Frogger girth. You would think that they would speed up on the same, like a similar level each time, but I guess maybe it's random.
Well, most classic games usually get harder or faster, you know, like once you cycle through all the levels, but Frogger's kind of the same every level pretty much, but it just has new stuff in the water and all that.
But do they get better and stronger?
Yep.
And faster?
Fucking all-wheel drive enemies.
It's a Daft Punk joke there.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, all right.
I got it too. It just wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Featuring Kanye West.
Success.
Thank you for your voicemail.
Yeah. Good. Call back next time.
If anybody can top that score.
What was it? 29?
29,000. Yeah. Shoot a video.
Level. I want to see 10th level.
You have to prove it. You'll get a sticker.
Load it up on the little computer. We'll play.
Oh, yeah.
We'll play it right now. Oh, yeah. And mentioning if anybody else wants to call in, we're going to try to hand out... or mail out some Coin Reject stickers to our loyal listeners. So I guess you'll have to give us your address.
Yeah, leave your message, put the address at the end, we'll edit it out. Or maybe we won't, depending on how well we like your message.
If you like pizza.
Maybe I'll donate a classic arcade mug, too.
Ooh, there you go. What's your classic arcade mug business? You want to plug it?
We better really like that voicemail.
Never mind.
Just every go on eBay and look for arcade mugs, and that's me.
Every 100th voicemail, get a free mug.
Yeah. Send me your punch card to prove that you sent something.
And I'll keep supplying the storage for the emails. The voicemails.
And your Google Voice.
Yeah, let's get some more discussion, you know. I think that'd be cool if we could send out some stuff. So.
Cool. Well, let's listen to another voicemail.
Sounds good.
Greetings, Rejects. This is Ron in Ohio. Fell across your podcast recently. I've listened to 4 or 5 episodes. Enjoying it. A couple quick questions. First, I hear you talking about adding a credit button to your coin door. I'm curious why you would want to do that on the classic two-player games. I usually just jumper the two-player start button over to the credit wire. And you can press the two-player start button once, then the one-player start button to start a one-player game. Press the two-player start button twice to start a two-player game. No drilling any holes, no adding any buttons. Curious if you guys have done this in the past or if you are against it for some reason. And then you've been talking about Fire Escape. I bought a Fire Escape at an auction. My gosh, it's been 15-plus years ago. I'm not exactly sure how long. Sitting in the back of the garage, it was one of these days projects, and I never touched it. I just wanted to hear more about it. I got mine complete but dead, and I just haven't, like I said, I haven't touched it. Got me thinking about it again, so any more information on Fire Escape would be greatly appreciated. Keep up the podcast, and again, see you later from Ohio.
Woo, Ohio. Cool, Fire Escape. Yeah. In the back of the garage.
I feel it's only fair that Ian addresses the question because...
I think we should do the coin door question.
That's
first.
What I'm saying.
We'll do it in order.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't think any of us have drilled holes in our coin doors. I definitely am not a fan. I have a variety of ways of coining up my games. I always prefer to have them on free play when that's available. I have created some free play hacks for some of my games, which are too uncommon to have them available. I did Blueprint and TaxScan. I have those ROMs that I burned, so those have free play, which is pretty cool. I have used the two-player jumper method before. I have that on a couple of my games. What I don't like about it is that if you don't know that it's set up that way, it's impossible to figure it out unless you put some label or something onto the game, which I prefer not to do. So I think free play is best for home environment or for, you know, putting it on non-coin play. My second favorite method of doing this is to wire a switch up to the coin reject button. So this is really cool. If you get just a regular Cherry micro switch, it's got three terminals on it. One is normally open, one is normally closed. And you open up your coin door and you put that in there so that the normally closed and ground terminal are connected to your credit switch. And the little nub is right on top of the armature on your coin mech. Then when you press the button, the armature moves down, the switch opens up, and it coins it up. I like that a lot because it's right on the coin door, so it's a little more obvious, and it's pretty non-invasive. So I like doing that a lot. On the space app I just did, I got one of the little membrane switches, and I put it up there. I like those, too. I think it's got a little picture of a quarter on it, so people get the idea.
I don't get that, but yeah.
Oh, that's John's product there.
The sticker, you mean?
I didn't even know that, and I played that game. I thought it was one of those original Midway buttons that are sometimes on the coin door.
No, those are beefy.
Yeah.
Those are,
yeah.
This is just sitting on top of the knockout.
I did not realize it. That's like where, well, it's on the knockout, so that's where that beefy button would be.
Yeah.
Huh. Very cool. Worked fine. You didn't have to tell me what to do.
Yeah. But why did I do that versus jumpering the player two button? Because I had one of those that I had been given for free and I did not have a jumper wire. That's the short answer.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I don't do the player two thing either. I mean, I saw that on the Bob Roberts website a long time ago, and the problem is that people don't know it. It's not intuitive. It's fine if you're the only one playing your games, but I like to have lots of people over playing my games, and I don't want to be the arcade librarian or whatever. The arcade
librarian, the arcade
tech attendant. Support. Yeah, I don't want to be tech support. I want people to just be able to walk up and play the game. So, like Ian, free play is where it's at if you can. If not, I
make
usually rig something up for you, press the coin reject, and it hits a button that coins it up. But those you have to tell people. So, actually, my two games, Tapper and Mappy, don't have free play. I have a whole shitload of tokens sitting on them, and you do just coin them up. And I figure that's obvious enough. If the thing's got a bunch of tokens on it, grab a token and shove it in the slot.
Jesus. Yeah, Tapper is pretty cool because it has the cup holders.
So. It's got the cup holder, so yeah. I put them just right on there. And that seems to work out good, but inevitably people will take those tokens and put them in other games too. So it's not a perfect solution. Free play would be a perfect solution, but I think I just don't want to pull the stack of boards apart on Tapper to put the free play on.
Oh, my God. How long have you had that game? Years?
Years.
Yeah, I think... Oh, go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, the only one that I don't have free play on is also Mappy, and I do the same thing that Jordan does with the tokens, and it works pretty well. And I guess I'll have to do the same thing with Root Beer Tapper if it also... I don't think it has a free play hack on it, so it would also need to use tokens and or quarters. But I do like to have at least one game that still takes quarters. It's kind of or tokens. It's kind of nice to coin up a game with an actual coin.
Yeah, I do like the experience of putting in a coin and hearing it, you know, clunk through the mech and just fall into a giant ass pile of coins in the cash box. I like that a lot, but I don't like it enough to actually do it on any of my games.
Yeah, I don't like keeping mechs unclogged and
Every game in my game room has functioning coin mechs because I think that all my shit works, top to bottom, soup to nuts. Is always what I aim for. So all my mechs are functioning. I don't like advancing the coin counter from when I get it for no good reason. Just like that was the point where I got it. That's it. Maybe that's weird.
Disconnect the coin counter, man.
I know some people like to run everything on tokens, and I think a local collector, Jeff S., has his arcade set up that way, where he has a coin changer setup, so you push the little coin reject button and it dispenses a handful of tokens, and all his games are set up to run on the tokens. Seems like a lot of work to me.
It is fun though. I do like it. I like to hear the sound. That's the cool bit. But yeah, I'm not gonna do it.
But you gotta have those seed coins in there because there's nothing worse than it's like the sound of it hitting an empty cash box. It's gotta like hit one that's half full.
Yeah.
It's a lot of coins.
You could just fill it with washers or something.
Oh, man. It's sneaky.
That's a good mod, man.
That is a good mod.
Yeah, great until you have to go get your fucking tokens out of those cash boxes.
Fucking washers.
Hang out at the construction site and pick up all the electrical slugs.
Yeah. I'm gonna put an inch of water in mine so it goes boop. Yeah, I think all of us are pretty much purists. We don't physically like drill holes in our shit for coin buttons. That's just ridiculous. So you should know better than that.
Unless a hole has already been drilled.
Nope, still don't.
Yeah, I stuck a button. Well, I'm not saying that you would, was already there.
I'm not saying you would put something in. I'm just saying, if we have coin doors that have holes in them, it was from a previous owner.
Yes. Oh, gotcha. Here's something. Fucking pole position because the free play sucks.
Yeah.
So free play means
it just starts.
Free play means the game starts every fucking minute. It'll drive you nuts. So you have to do coin play, and so what I do is I take a nut out of the or a bolt out of the bezel, the dashboard.
Yeah,
it's real up high, and I just take one of those bolts out, and then have a button sticking through there, and I put a label on it that says credit, and everybody figures it out.
Should have put a button or a label on it that says hazard lights.
It's a bright fucking red button, one of those Radio Shack ones. It's really obvious. It's right in front of their face, and it works good.
It should be one of those car ignition push start buttons.
There you go. Push to start.
Then you'd have to drill a hole.
But honestly, like race driving, you know, people credit it up, and they never figure it out, even though the screen says turn key to start. They sit there, it doesn't work. And there's a fucking key.
People are idiots.
Yeah.
Label, start your car as normal.
Yeah. People who drive driving games are generally more on the casual side. And so you gotta spoon feed them.
Nowadays, they have no idea about turning a key to start.
That's right. They're like, where's the fob I gotta have in my pocket?
You need a race driving car fob.
Okay, on Fire Escape, I think I'm going to plug another arcade podcast, which is the Game Room Junkies podcast. They have a post up on their blog that talks about the history of Mechtronic and Fire Escape. So you should go check that out. That's got pretty much everything you're going to want to hear on that subject.
Or if you're on KLOV, you can also contact MacD 2001 or something. It's Dave from Buffalo. Anyhow, he is kind of ground zero as far as Fire Escape and Fire Escape parts. He's the one who put out the video of him going through the barn full of fire escapes, and he has supplied a lot of fire escapes. So, and he's also on the Arcade Hangout every Tuesday night. So if they have a way to be contacted right there. It's a very simple game.
Yeah, not much to it.
If it's like dead to the world, I would think it's something very simple, like the first fuse that the AC power goes into. I mean, if it's like marquee light or some things are working, but the game just won't coin up, then you might have a little bit more. But I mean, that circuit board is like the size of a paperback book. There's not a lot to it.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty.
And the rest is just a bunch of switches. It's a simple game. It's a great one to dive into if you want to do some troubleshooting. Honestly, yeah.
Oh,
speaking of Fire Escape, anybody have one around here?
What? Oh,
are we segueing into Fire Escape talk?
We weren't. Did we already talk about this? I thought we talked about this before.
Did we?
I think we also put it off to the Arcade Hangout.
Yeah, I think we were letting the fire die down.
Well, last episode, I think we talked about it, but we moved down Jordan's Fire Escape, right?
Well, maybe we talked about it. Anyhow, I have a Fire Escape. Ian's got a Fire Escape. They're great games. We love them.
They're good.
Not rare.
Yeah, very cool.
I put white T molding on mine a couple weeks ago. It looks real sharp. I like it a lot. Still reeks of mold.
They're a little funky. I mean, they were in a horse barn.
Horse barn. The horses didn't get out.
Yeah, it's not exactly Barney's Fifth Avenue or whatever.
Barney.
Saks Fifth Avenue. Yeah, horse barn.
Fucking.
They don't have perfume samples.
So.
Is that all the voicemails?
Yes.
I think so. We're going to talk about game of the episode, I guess. Yeah?
Yeah. Game of the episode.
Man, all right. This podcast is going to be called Hit and Miss.
All right.
That's good. That's good. That's a good title.
Yeah. So game of the evening was Space Zap. So those scores are Brian in last place with 104,250 points. Myself in third place with 108,750. Jordan in number two with 123,500, and Brandon taking the top spot with 136,750 points.
Yeah.
Good scores. Real competitive. I took an early lead and then was dismayed to see it get fucking ripped every subsequent game.
This is like the first game that we played where we've all gotten in the hundreds.
We're all in the ballpark.
Yeah.
I mean, I was impressed. I was like, yeah. Wow. I saw Ian play. I'm like, oh, well, I know who's going to win.
Yeah.
And I figured that was it. Ian's going to kick our ass.
Yep.
Yeah. So the video of this is going to be fucked up because I had technical difficulties, but oh, well.
Yeah. As if you guys didn't know, the every game that we play is on YouTube, so you should check it out.
Yep. Yeah. Go look at some old ones because... my phone didn't run out of space recording the video on this.
Right on the website, coinrejects.com. We post the scores and the video that accompanies them.
There you go. You don't have to go to YouTube.
Yeah.
But you can.
Yeah. There's mean people over there with bad comments.
Yeah. I turned the comments off on our shit. That's why.
What?
Oh, there you go. No comments.
Yeah. Except for that one I forgot and then went back.
Did they say racist and homophobic things?
I think we slipped in right under the wire.
Nice.
On that one. So I really like this game. This is one of the more recent acquisitions of mine, and I'd been looking for one for a while. I think I'd mentioned when I picked it up, but I spent a little more time on it over the last few weeks. Pulled off some T-molding and put new molding on there because the original was broken on some of the bends, and took the plexes off and did some clean and polish on those. Polished up hardware, replaced a bunch of rusty hardware. Jordan helped me sandblast the marquee brackets and repaint those, so those are looking pretty sharp. Recapped the monitor, rejuved the tube, put that credit switch on there.
Fuck damn yeah.
Woo! Gave this game the business.
Yeah, I really went through it. And,
shopped it.
You know, I'd got it working, you know, electronically pretty good, but, you know, went through and took care of some cosmetic stuff. I also spent a little time. I always thought this would be cool. This game has this super unique marquee where it's got five different flashing bulbs like you would find on an EM game where just the current has a little reed inside, switch it on and off as it warms up, as current flows, it kind of bends out and then turns off and then it cools down and connects back again. So it has a flashing... So it's got five of them, and just the different frequencies give it this super cool look. But this game also did not have lights behind the coin inserts, kind of like Pac-Man. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if it had lights behind the coin inserts that flashed too? And I saw that on the coin door harness, there were two unused positions, and so I just jumpered those to the same power supply as the marquee lights right above and wired those in. I think it looks super cool, really neat.
Trend-setting mod right there.
Well, you know, it's my style of mod. I think it's cool. It fits in with the theme. It's not, like, super in your face. It's not fucking ELT molding. You know, it's just, it looks nice.
And
those nice little extra.
Those flashing inserts are, like, inches away from the marquee. So it all goes together.
Yeah, you don't need a Kickstarter,
the
right?
The marquee is low on that cabinet. So it looks right.
Yeah, like an Atari Cabaret marquee position. Yeah. Super unique cabinet. All plywood cabinet on this one. It's very light, a lot of weight towards the bottom, super easy to move. I just put it in my game room and was pushing it around on the carpet. Real nice. Doesn't look too out of place in the cabaret row there. And I also stuck it right next to Gorf and Wizard of War, so I got the Midway card rack mini row right there. All those games use that same card rack system.
Mini Mite Row.
1980, black and white.
Yeah.
So kind of the end of the black and white.
Pretty
Midway.
Late.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty late. Great game, though, with the color overlay, so it looks cool.
Yeah. There was some speculation that perhaps they did the upright as a black and white just to use up supplies of the 19-inch black and white monitors, because it definitely, there's a mod you can do to put a color monitor in there, and I think either the cocktail or the mini are both used color monitors.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the black and white with the color overlay is just super cool looking. Overall, this cabinet is just super unique, really sharp looking. It's got these plex cutouts on the side and a mirror above the monitor and the flashing marquee, and just a super great looking cabinet.
Those Plex cutouts on the side, every time I first see them, and it's got a pattern carved into the Plexi. And when I first see it, I was like, oh, that Plexi's all scratched up. And then you give it a little closer look, and you're like, oh, that's a super cool pattern.
Or someone was very talented at scratching.
Yeah. Really excellent graffiti artist.
Yeah.
I always say this, but that pattern looks a lot like the background on Major Havoc.
Yep.
Yeah, the mazes. The CPO.
I vectored a CPO once, so I've stared at that pattern for a while.
Yeah.
The mirror doesn't really make sense to me, though. It doesn't do anything.
So. It's kind of like a double. You can watch the game from the mirror. It's kind of like a double monitor.
If you're like 2 feet tall.
A whole lot lighter.
I didn't see anything.
I just think it looks really cool. I agree, when you're playing the game, I don't think it adds anything.
No.
But for a spectator or for someone who's just walking down a row of games, I think it's very striking.
Yeah, when it's on a track, it's going to give you that added bit of movement and
Maybe it reflects light or attraction. Something. I don't know. But I didn't really notice what it was doing.
So. Really good looking bezel, too. Kind of circuit board type of pattern. Yeah.
I think the one thing that they kind of fell down on the job with on this is the control panel, which is completely black. There's just no art on it. It's just painted black.
We're done.
Yeah. Maybe they figured, since you'd be smacking the shit out of it every second, that they wouldn't waste their time on screening art on it.
Could be. They have some instructions screened on the bezel retainer right above the control panel. But it looks a little bit barren, I would say, with the black control panel. It's not terrible, but
you can lay all the cigarettes you want on it. I mean, you won't damage it.
What's the button? Are they Leafs under there?
The whole setup is Leafs. So it has a unique control system with 4 directional buttons and a fire button. So instead of using a joystick, you have those 4 individual buttons. And you just mash on the fire button, and
those buttons are 2.5 inches.
They're really big.
Really big.
They're unique, and you're kind of screwed if you find one without those buttons, because nothing else used them. And this is not a high production game.
I'd replace them with whack-a-mole, like little alligator heads or something. Or that'd be wacky gators, not whack-a-mole.
Dude, if you lit those, it'd be so bright, man. Yeah,
just put a couple mallets on there for playing.
Oh, yeah, you should make them have LED lights.
You could have, projector bulbs in those. Yeah. They're so big.
Yeah, if the ship comes, then that one lights up.
Fucking halogen. Yeah. HID.
Halogen.
They're huge.
Yeah, so the gameplay on this, you're positioning your cannon, and then you're firing, and there's an enemy that comes in the 4 positions. And then at the end, you have a little
Darth Vader,
TIE fighter looking guy swarming around your base that you have to also shoot. The part where I fell down on my game was that TIE fighter will circle your base and at least make almost one circle around each time. And then the last one, he did a quarter circle and just went bang right to me. And I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. So.
I got one of those bastards too.
Yeah.
It's 90 degrees, I'm in you. That's it.
I'm in you.
Yeah, the game gets real punishing when you get up to the higher levels. I guess for those who haven't played it, there's your base is fixed in the center, and the directional buttons change the direction that you fire. You fire a laser in that direction, and ships show up conveniently exactly lined up where your laser shoots rather than on a corner where you're defenseless.
Yeah.
And
not very smart enemies.
Right. And they shoot at you. It's a reflex game, right? It's a dirt fucking simple game. There's really nothing to it. But it's the kind of dirt simple game I really like, because after it just completely kicks your ass, you're like, no fucking way did this dumb ass game kick my ass. I have to play it again and show it who's boss. I really appreciate games that are dead simple. They do not require any explanation. It is fucking obvious within 2 seconds exactly how it's played. And I really like that about this game.
It's ridiculous. I was a little nervous to play. I wanted somebody to go first. It's I haven't played this in a while. I'm not sure I remember how.
Yeah.
That's what I said too. And I'm like, but, oh yeah, you're just hitting buttons.
But there is some depth to the gameplay, and a couple things that I have noticed playing this are, when you first start, everything goes very slow, and you get points both for shooting the projectiles shot at you and for shooting the ships that shoot the projectiles. So At the very beginning, I like to point press a little bit by trying to get both of those every time they shoot. Eventually, it gets so fast that the ships will shoot and then disappear, and you really can't do that most of the time. But when it's in that slow, easy mode, you can get a few extra points by making sure that you wait for the ship to fire, then getting the projectile, and then getting the ship before it disappears. Yeah. The other thing is that after you die, it also ramps the difficulty back down. So anytime you lose a base, I like to flip back into that mode where I'm trying to just extract as many points as I can. So that's my main technique. And the other thing is that I just really like when the that TIE fighter is spiraling around and I just hit it with a single shot. I like that a lot. Like, that feels super good instead of just sitting there and like mashing a bunch. Like, you just hit it once. Bam.
I think Brian and I were making like the wall of fire. It's like, we know it's coming. It's going to hit.
We were trying, and then it didn't quite make it all the way.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to waste your energy, though. There's like a stamina thing, right? Because if you do that wall method and you do that too far out, then you're just pissing away your energy, like your actual energy, like not wearing yourself out. Your fucking
just your
wrist.
Arms. So I had to cross arms. It made more sense for me to spam the fire with my right arm. Yeah.
So here's the other technique that I've noticed, which is that because the monitor is not square, but the enemies are on the edges, enemies appearing on the top and bottom, the projectiles have less distance to travel, and so they hit you faster.
Space mines.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to be biasing towards just shooting up and shooting down, even if you don't see anything there. You always want to be shooting somewhere. So I kind of default to shooting up and down because you have less time to react if you see those, and you have a little more time to react if you see the ones on either side. Then if you see those, flip over to that.
Yeah, I think I was
did not
that.
Work for me in this game, but that's the theory.
I bias to the right because I saw you died mostly from the right
every time.
Yeah, that big projectile that comes that got like all of us once, I think, or more than once. But
yeah, what I appreciate about this game is that they tuned the physical nature of it and not just the gameplay. It's really one big package, and they're like. Those big beefy buttons are so inviting, but it's actually really hard to hit the right one versus like the first time I played this game was in MAME with a joystick, and you can just go forever with that because there's no difficulty in aiming in the right place. But having to move your hand around on the big buttons, which are they're set like just far apart enough that you can't very accurately aim. I appreciate that was part of the design of the game, was just getting the controls hard enough. It would be a completely different game with the joystick, and I don't think it would be much fun.
Or if it had, like, four tight buttons like Lazarian, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you could just go...
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. You can either focus on maybe, like, the top two buttons.
Yeah.
Or you can focus on probably two buttons at once, but you can't... And then you find yourself like, oh, this is good. But then it starts switching it up, and you're like, shit! Yeah, you can't do that. And the main problem I was having is, like, once it gets really fast, as I was, like Jordan was saying, what is it, like, when you're rubbing your belly and scratching your head or whatever? Like, you think that the fire button is the direction, and you're like, oh, shit, no, that's not the case.
You start, like, and so spamming the direction button.
So I'm spamming the direction button, then nothing's happening. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not the fire button. And so, like, I was constantly just... fucking hitting everything, and when I was panicking, I would just like make sure I was always hitting, like resetting and kind of hitting the fire button. But yeah, you have to pick the direction first, hold it, and then spam the fire button. It's kind of hard to think about that when it's going really, really fast.
We don't technically have to hold it. Once you hit it, it will stay that direction.
Oh, does it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's my tactic.
I didn't know that.
My tactic. Well, I mean, we covered it in my game, which was before yours, but my tactic is just. Don't even think about the fire. Just constantly press fire and then focus on the direction.
Yeah. I guess it's like playing drums or something, but I don't know.
It's a rhythm game.
Yeah.
But or if you have fast reflexes, you just can do whatever the fuck you want. So I was kind of banking on that when I got screwed up. So I won.
Yeah, it's a fun game. Fun game. Good job, Brandon.
Yeah. I don't know. The buttons are just low enough, though, that on the CP that my wrist... are killing me.
If you like, you know, space and astronaut, it's kind of got a really
and
cool
zapping
deal on the side. Yeah.
Every early 80s arcade game, you mean? If you like any other 80s, early 80s arcade game.
It's good.
It's a pretty unique kind of shooter game. I don't know. Maybe Bostonian is kind of similar in its four-way shooteriness.
But that was like way after. Like
it was like 2 years after.
This is pretty unique because this wasn't like the trending style of games, even before it or after. I mean, it just kind of appeared and that was it. There's nothing else really like it during the time that I know of. But it was licensed, right? That's the other thing. Wasn't it licensed by a different company?
Oh, it's not a Midway game?
No, it's like Gamatron, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no one really knows exactly what that story is, whether Midway licensed it to Gamatron or vice versa, or a third party licensed it to both.
I'm guessing Midway didn't create it, but I could be wrong, but...
I don't know. The font looks like
Wizard of War to me.
It's got that weird card rack system that Midway created. Yeah. It seems weird for a third party to develop for it. I guess it's possible, but
yeah. Maybe it developed on that system because it was already existing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is the PCB completely different? I know the control scheme looks almost identical, but the cab's like way, way different.
And is this pre-Pac-Man?
1980, so yeah, same year as Pac-Man, but Pac-Man was Namco. It wasn't
made by
you're anyway. I think you're trying to make the point of how they kind of had a relationship with a lot of the overseas vendor, or like, you know, companies, so maybe that was just another one of those. But yeah, you're right though, it does have that same exact Wizard of War style
and GURF
font. Yep. And sound. Yeah,
GURF
exactly.
Too, same font.
It would have been a lot of work to write it to that hardware. So, yeah, I don't know.
And the card rack hardware has the pattern board, which is like a thing for moving images around on the screen, which is unique to that platform. So like you cannot write a game. You know, it's not like where you can, you know, a Glaxian or Pac-Man type board runs a fucking 15 games on it that people have made because they were everywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a pretty unique platform and not as popular as Pac-Man.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. It'd be kind of a lot of work to write it from scratch on, who knows? But maybe they did.
What other card rack boards besides GURF, Wizard of War, and Space Zap?
Oh, there's some like horrible trivia game and a baseball game.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Robbie Roto.
I mean, Roto. Yeah. I forget the name of the baseball game.
It seems like you have all the good ones.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I want the shitty ones too, but
because that's just how I roll.
If you find a Robbie Roto mini, I would be into it. I actually kind of like the game. It is fucking horrible, but I kind of like it.
It's like Lazarian tier, right? Where it's just barely passable.
I like Lazarian more.
But it still sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Lazarian definitely has the advantage there.
Yeah. And then
I think the thing about Roto is that it looks like hammered dog shit.
Yeah, it does.
But the actual gameplay is okay. Yeah. But it looks fucking awful. Really bad. Terrible animation.
The fucking art looks like
fucking vomit. It looks like MS someone Paint. Puked. Yeah. It's terrible.
It is pretty bad.
Have you seen that video where they were promoting it at like AMOA? And they're like, oh yeah, this is going to be the hot shit.
Well, the thing is, they're talking to Eugene Jarvis. They're like, he's watching it and they're like, what do you think of this game?
Dog
and he's
shit.
Like, I don't know. It looks pretty weird.
And that was like, right when like Robotron was coming out. So he's like, yeah, this game sucks. Yeah.
Bring it on. Put all your money on it.
Yeah. Fucking the Jizz Kid was right there.
Come on, Midway. Put you under.
We were looking at the flyer earlier, I noticed how it said that it came in a Minimite cabinet, which is the Midway version. The Midway called their cabarets or their mini cabinets Minimites.
Yep.
And Ian said that Atari copyrighted trademark.
Yep.
So I'd never known that cabaret was a trademark of Atari, and everybody else had a name there. Mini is something different if they were going to call them something specific.
Yeah. Yep. Minimite was what Midway called them, which is just awful name. It is really a terrible name, and they should have known better.
It's like
and,
full of mites.
Yeah. Cabaret is like the catch-all term, like Xerox and Band-Aid.
Yeah. Well, it is now.
Miniature. Yeah.
I think that, and, like you were mentioning, the Tito Trimline.
Yeah. Trimline.
Trimline
exactly.
is
Trimline's good.
I think that's a good name.
Yeah. I agree.
Cabardale.
And then
Cabaret, isn't that like danced women or something? I mean, yeah. Yeah. What does that have to do with video games? They're small.
Fuck if I know.
Because that's where you would put one.
In their dressing room or something? While they're
chilling.
In a cabaret. Yeah, exactly. In the cabaret.
In the cabaret. Yeah. Okay.
Kingdom.
Because why would you want to look at women when you could play asteroids?
I found that interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
What does Nintendo call them?
I think they just call them minis.
Yeah.
I don't think so. There's...
They call them juniors.
The Donkey Kong Jr. Junior.
Junior. Comment. Junior.
I don't know if they had a special name for them. Firebird.
Junior.
Later on, the Namco re-releases of Donkey Kong, they call those cabarets, but... Atari had ceased to exist. Maybe they let the trademark expire. I don't know.
Yeah. We're finally going to re-release something.
We're finally going to do it. We can call them a cabaret.
Woo-hoo. What does Neo Geo call them?
V2.
VXX5.2.
Yeah, they just had terrible names. So the one I have here is just the Neo 19.
Yeah, it sucks.
And the US one is the MVS 213.
Nice, yeah.
That's no, exactly what you're getting.
213 centimeters. No, millimeters. Yeah.
That'd be small. 13-inch.
two 13-inch coins. 13-cent coins will get your game. Yeah.
Yeah, and the cocktail is actually pretty sweet of Space Zap. It has like that. Isn't it almost? It almost looks like football, like the football Atari football cabinet.
Oh, it's all flat. It is.
Has like the flat.
Hey, you can't see my hand.
Yeah,
under the glass thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like stick out and they're on top. Like,
let me see your hands. Put your hands on the cabinet.
Are you cheating at Space Zap?
That's right, Well, the normal midway are like, you know, you're all like incognito, like,
You could be jacking off instead of playing.
It's down here under the glass.
Why is your score zero and your hands moving? Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, man.
I do like the look of the Space Zap cocktail.
Yeah, I like it, too. And the only version that I do not like is the Mini Mite. Looks like a piece of dog shit. It looks horrible.
That style of Midway mini cabinet is the worst. It is so ugly.
Let me guess. It's the Pac-Man style.
It's the same as Pac-Man, but it's painted gray with the side art on it.
And so it's like a spray-painted dog turd.
It's so ugly, even I don't really like it. And
that's saying a lot, right?
It is. How about so much?
How about space encounters? That's the same way too.
Yeah. Same way.
You don't want one of those?
I'm not saying I don't want one. I'm saying they are ass ugly. At least with space encounters, the upright cabinet is fucking enormous. But Space Zap, the cabinet is not huge. Uh-huh. Space Zap is pretty damn good upright cabinet.
No, it's a great
size.
Yeah. Very nice.
I generally don't mind the missing art on the minis, but there's so much going on the Space App upright cabinet that's not there at all on the mini. I think the upright is the better cabinet. That's a rare opinion for me. I think the upright is just a way better cabinet.
It's weird that the mini has the marquee at the top and the upright has the marquee under the joystick.
We don't know what the fuck we're doing. We're just going to swap.
That's pretty weird.
I wonder if the marquee flashes on the mini like the upright. I'm guessing it does not.
I've
never seen one in person, but I'm guessing no.
It would be flashing right in your face.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Just like Space Encounters has the strobe, right? And the upright has like the strobe light in there.
Yeah, it's a cool strobe too. There's like a red and a white in there and the whole fucking bezel lights up.
See, stuff like that. That's why you have to go with the uprights on certain things.
That's probably, that's 80 as well, or is that 79?
80.
Yeah, that's a good game. There's a lot of good shit in 1980,
I keep
thinking you could have a whole fucking game room of 1980 and it would be boss.
That's the Crazy Climber series, 80 from 80.
Yeah. I'm going to sell all my games more than 80 and games just too. Buy games from 1980.
I mean, I'm already there. I mean, a shitload of my games are from 80.
There's a lot of good 80.
Seems like That was like the couple years after that, or not even that, they just stopped making stuff like vacuum form plastic and doing all the extra stuff. And it was the transition just to full color. Like, they thought that was enough. They didn't have to enhance the cabinets or make anything extra on them.
Warlords.
Yeah. What about Warlords?
It's a good 80.
It's 80? Well, that's Space Sap. Fucking awesome.
It's a good
game.
Yeah. It's a hell of a game.
It's a fucking
play the
awesome
game. Yeah. Send us some scores. We have a voicemail. Get a sticker.
No, we all rate it.
Get a sticker. Get a sticker.
Stick it on your Space Zap.
We rate it coins up.
Coins up.
I don't know.
Two heads. Four heads. Four tails. I don't know.
All right. I guess we're moving on to game room. Oh, wait. I wanted to do a new thing.
Oh,
well,
just
new thing. But it's optional.
You don't have to. It's optional. Okay, people, you can tune out now.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom. Or,
hey, fast forward. Hey, if you want your fucking, if you want your fucking sticker, you better listen to this shit.
Brian, note to edit this whole section out.
It's optional to edit this part, but should we score the games after we play them? Should we have like a little?
That's what I was just saying. That's what I was just saying. Coins up.
Four coins up.
I see. I had no fucking idea what you were talking
either
about.
Neither did I. I didn't know what the fuck you were talking about either. So
it gets coins up for me.
So if there's four, of us,
what the fuck's a coins up though?
It's like a thumbs up, but with a coin.
Exactly.
How do you do that?
You coins up.
Can you make the sound effect like throw that quarter?
Ka-ching. Ka-ching. I was just kidding about the coins up.
That's pretty black and white, though, right? There's no mid.
Yeah, it is.
It is black, black and white. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But I mean, the rating system, it's either.
Should we do five stars?
No, it's easy. Right. It's everyone five just coins? Says coins, yeah. Coins yeah. Up, thumbs coins up, or thumbs down, and down. It's like that's however it. Many of four.
Siskel
that's
and Ebert.
All right.
Yeah. Can you put your hand together like this? To like it's like.
All right. You guys ready? We're going to vote.
All right. Thumbs up.
Okay. What is it? Looks four like four coins up.
Four coins up.
Yeah.
Woo! Hit and miss.
Yeah. What if I kind of like the game and kind of do a sideways?
No. Fuck off.
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
There's no half quarter.
This is maybe means no.
This is my rating system.
It's all right. It's pretty good.
Half token.
Yeah.
No.
Half token.
When you've broke your token.
Anyway.
Half cents.
I think maybe it'd be funny to add some conversation to it and have like a stupid rating system. So I think definitely a thumbs up. That's awesome.
Agreed.
Same. All right.
I'm not sure how that whole section's going to come out in the actual podcast, but I'll see what I can do.
I like how it.
We could practice.
There was mass
we could
confusion.
Do more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Four thumbs up.
Monaco GP. Coin up, coin down.
Coins up.
Coins up.
Yep.
See, it's going to be lots of coins up.
Yeah.
Well, all the games play, I think.
No, I mean you haven't seen all the games that we're playing yet. So
Mortal Kombat.
There will be. Ooh. No, you can't do it yet. You gotta say
we're not going to play that game.
Oh,
on
we
this
have
show.
To play it. Well, see, so
this is
everyone have to no. play it. But this, it,
I was
this
thinking every
context.
Game of the episode. Yeah. We'd rate at the end.
That's I just want some drama.
I agree.
Okay.
I just want something.
Start naming off fucking games.
No, I just want something besides four coins up. Mortal Kombat.
Robotron.
Wait, what are we doing? Yeah. Mortal Kombat is coins fucking down for me.
Coins up.
I knew it. I knew it. There's two up, two down.
Two coins up.
We don't have to. We can
do you
be
like
anonymous.
Mortal Kombat? God, that game is
so good. It's just like a part of the childhood, man. Yeah. It's just the nostalgia.
You can like what you like.
Were you coins up, Jordan?
No, I was coins down.
Okay.
You didn't even fucking play that game.
I knew there'd be drama.
You never even played that game.
I owned that game.
Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, I owned one.
You owned one?
Yeah.
And
I traded it for a Q-Bert.
Ooh,
that's
good
a hell of a
fucking
trade.
That is a good trade.
That's what I said.
That what is
coins
that?
Up on that trade.
It might have been Mortal Kombat 2. I don't even know what it was.
Doesn't that, they
was
also
the one people
that's
like.
The best one.
Yeah,
I don't know. They like them all. I don't know what
it was
they
in
sucked.
A. It was in a cut corner. You know,
Dynamo.
Yeah.
Not even a dedicated.
You know, those are big cabinets. You know, you think they're just the same size as our cabinets? They're not. They're bigger. They're taller. They're heavier.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah, fuck those.
All right, let's do game room updates.
All right.
Let's do it.
Ian's the first on the list.
Am I? Jesus.
Yeah. It's blank, though. So
just talked. I edited it.
He edited it.
Well, let me refresh.
I already talked about Space Zap. So
I talked the whole time.
I had some other shit, but I just want to focus in on one thing and just talk about that. I've had the DMD in my Doctor Who has been kind of flaky for a while. And the DMD in my Bram Stoker's Dracula just died in the middle of a game. So I was like, well, fuck this. I'm just going to get some color DMDs. So I got color DMDs for both of those games. I got the LED DMDs for those. On who, you have to go LED unless you want to go like completely hack up the display board underneath with the doctor display. But also, I just kind of like the discrete LED setup better anyways. But I think this is just a good thing to grab onto to talk about color DMDs. For it, against it, how many coins up for the color DMD? And do you like the color better versus the original, or should you stay original? And do you prefer the LED or the LCD panel original style?
I have a coin up, but I've never spoke with my wallet yet. Both my pins have the original orange shit.
Did you know that your orange shit on World Cup Soccer is blown out?
Yeah, it's in the driver board.
Are you sure it's on the driver board? Do you want a panel to test with?
I can test with one of your old panels. Sure.
Yeah, take it.
Yeah,
but that's I don't know if it works.
I do like the color. When I played Doctor Who tonight, and what was the first thing I said? Like within 2 seconds, I'm like, "Oh, that looks nice in color."
No, you didn't say that.
Yes,
I did. You had to be pointed to.
You said that before you played it. Yeah. Someone else was playing.
Oh, okay. But anyhow, yeah, I do like them, but I've never dropped the $350 for a game of my own.
They are expensive.
Because I look at the ball bouncing around. I don't look at the panel. Or you know.
That's true. Well, you know,
it's all fun in games until video mode.
Or the 3D marquee. Or
no, the lenticular.
That's kind of bullshit. But lenticular. I understand on Doctor Who because it has like the lights kind of like Adam's Family. Well, the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. The LEDs, they're just like, they're like you were, we were saying before Brian and Jordan came.
Oh, you're talking LED versus LCD now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
go one step at a time.
Let me just set. So there are two different types of color DMDs. The original are LCDs. So it's just like a fucking computer screen that goes in there that displays images of dots. So that was the original style. They have since come out with a new style that has discrete LEDs. So for every dot on the original DMD, there's an RGB LED in place. Mm-hmm. So the LCD gives you a couple features, like you can turn on fat dots, which makes them giant and square, and there's also this interpolation mode, which makes it look like fucking garbage. Do not ever use this. It's so bad.
Is it the smoothing HD thing?
Yeah, the smoothing thing. Yeah. It's so bad, and every time I see one, I just want to go fucking toss the machine into the river. I really don't like that.
It's like when people turn on the motion plus and 120 hertz. Yes, on their TVs.
That's the cartoon mode, right?
Yeah, it's the mode that makes it look like fucking garbage.
It doesn't make it terrible. Dots anymore. It makes it it's just garbage. Yeah,
it's terrible. So I got both LEDs, but I had an LCD installed on my Medieval Madness before I bought it. So it was nice to have kind of a side-by-side comparison.
Yeah. And so now that you've teed that up, like we were saying that the yellow, you can actually see like the other kind of colors on the, like the individual LEDs. And it's just, I don't know, just doesn't have the same look for me.
So the way LED works, it's red, green, blue, like a monitor.
Yeah.
And it just depends on what are lit up. So if you have, if you're looking at purple, it's red and blue.
Yep.
And when you get off axis, sometimes you will see red and blue versus purple.
Yeah.
And at least that's what I found.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, it's exactly right. Like when you do like the crosshatch, you know, or something, or the dots on a test pattern.
Convergence on your monitor.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the convergence is off a little bit.
And it's just, I don't know, it just has a different feeling to it. And obviously it's more authentic. But it, I don't know, the execution's just kind of weird.
Well, is it more authentic? Because the other stuff is, you know, one color. So it's always...
it's more authentic in that it's a discrete dot, per se, right?
Right. So both...
It's like a physical dot.
Both of them are a triad of red, green, and blue, but on the LEDs, each dot is a single triad of red, green, and blue, whereas on the LCD... it's made up of a large number of smaller triads because it's just, you know, like a circle basically being displayed on a computer screen.
Yeah. And so,
so you could say it's a little higher resolution.
Yes.
On a LCD versus a LED.
Yeah, there's not really a resolution on an LED, but
well, it is.
Yeah, it is, exactly. Yeah.
Well, there's rows and I mean it's like 100 by, you know.
Yeah.
But
it's lower.
But it
times
like
three.
A straight line, for example, you'll see the separation and then you'll see like, you know, the faint hits of the I guess inactive colors or whatever, but I don't know. Yeah, it just has a weird feeling.
I'm on the fence. I don't know which one I like better. I like the LEDs because they're individual dots like the original.
That's what I like. Yeah.
I like the brightness of them, too. They're nice and bright.
Also, you get true black, which an LCD does not give you at
all. It's got like a gray background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but the LCD, the size of the dot is a little closer to real, to the original, I would say.
I think you're right.
Is it? I thought...
I think
LED, the dot's a little smaller.
I think you're correct on that.
Yeah, they're a little... maybe that's what I was noticing is it's, like, for example, like the score, right? A one, it feels like... It looks a little broken.
Yeah.
And so it's like... I don't know. It just looks kind of weird.
I feel like if they put a diffuser or a light guide in front of the LEDs or like a little lens or a panel that has individual lenses, that they could really solve these issues. And I would love to see future iterations of the LED panels that do so. The original vacuum fluorescent displays are pretty thick compared to the color DMDs. And actually, this is one of the things I noticed that I kind of don't like about either style of color DMD, which is that there's a wood panel, you know, a 3/4 inch thick wood panel, and that original DMD sticks through there and is really right up against the display plaques on there. And all of the colors are set completely back because they're basically just flat against a PCB. So you've got 3/4 inch extra distance there, and you can kind of see, you know, like the edge of the wood and whatnot. And I like it right up close on the plex. And that's a thing I noticed about this change that I wasn't super thrilled about. I do think the color looks really good, especially on those two. I have some beefs with some of the other titles I've seen where I think they kind of maybe It's a Wonderful Life'd it too much. on that.
Yeah, it's really all about the programming. People have to come forth.
Yeah.
And it's whoever comes forth and says, I'll put in all these hours and I'll program this. And they're not going to, like, I don't, maybe they do, but I don't think they're going to say, oh, no, you didn't do a good job. Sorry.
Yeah.
We're not going to use that, you know.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if you can go in and change your own. I'll just say that the one that I've seen for Attack from Mars drives me insane because in the animation where the missiles rise on like the second ball lock, the missiles are red, green, and blue, whereas there was no indication whatsoever that they were different colors, and it just looks fucking stupid. I really hate it. I know it's a stupid thing to latch onto, but I fucking hate it so much. It looks dumb.
It's just the same comparison of you know, LED manufacturers. Well, they're all the same, but that sell their kits for the games, and they have, you know, depending on who that person is, their style can either be horrible or could be like in good, really good taste. And like, I agree, like you can clearly tell in the original dots if something's supposed to be different.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then don't fuck with it, because your artistic ability probably sucks.
Yeah. It's a missile. It's fucking gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what country paints all their missiles a different color?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody does.
I don't know. Maybe.
This is the first time that I've seen the LED version, and it is interesting to see the two side by side. I've always liked the color DMDs, the LCD versions, but also with a caveat of that shitty cartoony setting always looks terrible. But
you don't have to choose that.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm saying that if you have it on the dots like Ian's Medieval Madness is, then it looks good. The LEDs, I noticed it looks brighter and crisper, I guess, maybe, and more like the original... the original panels.
Yeah.
Closer to the original panels.
I'm just going to have to buy a third DMD game and leave the original panel in there so we can do a side-by-side comparison.
Yeah. Is there a way to like piggyback them so you can do two? You can do a live version of the DMD of both the OG and the... Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of cool.
That's I think the answer is yes.
I think the syncing will be off because I believe that their technology, I think it's slightly delayed. I think that's how it works. Like they intercept the frame and they like, you know, based on like how the CPU.
I knew that's why my game was off.
Fuck. It's not. It's. That's it. I mean, it's.
I mean, it's like you wouldn't notice it, but
any delay,
there might be a little lag.
It's, yeah, it's. Yeah, like there is not. Something. The lag is not going to be noticeable to a human eye.
Anyways, I think I like the LCD better after playing both.
Yeah, I want 9 millisecond response time on my LCD.
That's a hell of a ghost rating, man.
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean the. I didn't mean the physical screen. I meant like the software they use to interact with the. The game, like the CPU and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's not going to be noticeable. Yeah. So on the side of the LCD, yeah.
What's that?
You said you prefer the LCD.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm on board with you on that one. But at least for who using the LCD requires badly modifying the PCB for the lights, and I'm just never going to do that.
Circus Voltaire is that way too. You have to use LED, because of where it is.
But I would just never own that because I think that game sucks.
Yeah, it does
a lot. Coins down.
Yeah, on the games where you don't want to like fuck with your machine and start cutting stuff. I agree. Like that's the good choice. But
I would
normally
never cut a game for a mod.
Yeah,
I mean that's ridiculous.
Exactly. But. Yeah. Same with arcades, right? We don't actively cut shit for a credit button, but games like Medieval Madness, where you have the option, I would go with the LCD.
Very interesting.
There it is.
Coins up.
Now, if you had, did you buy LCD for your Adams family?
Adams family? What do you mean?
Are you asking about my Dracula?
No, when Brandon had
Twilight Adams. Zone. You mean
Twilight Zone? Sorry.
No, I didn't have that.
Yeah, see.
I didn't have a color.
Well, they didn't even have the LEDs out when he had that game.
Oh, that's true. That's okay.
I don't even know if they had the color DMD out.
Unfair question. They probably had.
Well, for that game, though.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Well.
It might have been early, yeah. What was the first one? Like Attack from Mars or something, I think and it seemed like Star Trek was pretty early. I don't know. We're not. I'm not the expert.
It's kind of like the LED versus incandescent debate, though. Like when you had Star Trek Next Gen next to World Cup Soccer.
Oh, yeah, and I had to change the lights.
When you only said Star Trek looked like shit after you
put... Yep.
Yeah.
So
it's like, you put a color in one, you can't leave orange in the other.
Yeah, but standalone, though, I really do not mind the orange OG stuff. I think it looks cool.
I also don't mind it, but I also didn't want to fix whatever was wrong with I didn't want to buy a new... I was like, if I have to buy a new panel, I don't want to buy the original one. I want to buy one that looks nice.
Because even the original new replacement's pretty spendy still.
Yeah, there's not that big of a price differential. And I don't know who's making those. But I know there's the ones that are discrete single-color LEDs, and the color ones were like... $50 or $60 more than that. Like the price differential between one that was one color versus one that was multi was not really a factor.
You know, there's a DIY color.
Yeah, DMD.
Yeah, that you can put in as well. Yeah. You don't have to go with the main company.
Yeah. I was reading about that actually not too long ago for fun, and those products are made in Europe because there's a patent for color DMD, so... They can release it in Europe and not get in trouble, and they could sell it from.
Nice,
there's no like system in place though to do the coloring. Like it's like kind of fan based.
It's still open source.
So you have to do the coloring, and
that's fine. Then you can go and fucking edit out the RGB and the attack from Mars.
Yeah,
exactly.
Get in there and do it how you want.
Turn red, white, and blue.
Turn the missiles into fucking dildos if you want.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You could, because there's an editor, right? So you can add stuff. That's pretty sweet.
Put your face in there, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and it works with like other newer titles too. So you can change the logos. You can do whatever.
Fucking trolls. You could have like Putin or something.
Putin
and Trump.
No thanks.
You could be one of the doctors.
You could be one of the doctors.
Oh yeah, speaking of. DMDs, though, I just wanted to mention that the remakes, like all the Chicago Gaming Company remakes Medieval Madness and Attack from Mars, like the HD version of the DMD.
Oh God, that thing's huge!
It looks like,
what the hell, man?
Like, speaking of artistic,
serve some appetizers
of artistic taste. Like the people that did the HD version four times the dots, it looks like asshole. Yeah. Like it looks bad. Like it changes the original design, and it's just it's bad. That's all I have to say.
I agree. Coins down.
Coins down. It's more PG now. Instead of saying that fucking sucks, let's say coins down. Coins down.
Oh, man. We're going to fucking hit the mainstream with this.
Hitting the big time now.
All right.
Fucking Casper sponsorship.
What else does anybody
an episode
doing?
Away.
I think Brian is the only one.
Brian works left. On shit.
I didn't have any updates, so now it's just Brian.
Got a battle
and I think that's it.
That'll give you shit to work on all the time.
Hell yes. So, last episode, I was talking about picking up the Battlezone Cabaret and it not working and giving me all kinds of weird feedback when I would turn it on. And Ian was correct, and it was a ROM issue. It wasn't that the ROMs were bad. It was that there were two ROMs in the wrong sockets. They were swapped. So we were testing the ROMs, and he was like, this isn't the ROM. So we identified it was just two of them that were swapped, and sure enough, it fired up. He like fired it up on his PAT, and it was working, and it seemed like it was resetting when we were over here. So we weren't sure if it was 100%, but I brought it home, and I plugged it in my game, and it worked, and it hasn't given me trouble since. So
that was amazing.
Fingers crossed.
Wow. Yeah, that was really cool. How the fuck do you think the ROMs got swapped?
I have no idea.
Wow.
Did you do it? Didn't you take them out to reseed them?
I did take them out to reseed them, but it was one at a time.
I don't believe you.
No.
I think you fucked it up.
I believe you, Brian.
Swear to God.
All right. Okay, fine. I believe you, too.
If this is one that our friend Dylan had worked on, he said that it may have had a braze kit in it. So somebody may have like put ROMs back incorrectly. I'm not saying it was him because Dylan would never do that.
Yeah,
that could have happened. Yeah. Possibly.
Dylan's got attention to detail.
Yeah,
Dylan would totally do that. I think he's trying to purposely.
He can work on any of my games anytime.
He can work on my games anytime.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
So after I got that done, I still had lots of parts that were pretty disgustingly dirty. So I cleaned up the plexi and the coin door and the control panel and got all that stuff put back together. The control panel had a cracked part of it, and at one point, I put on the micro switch so it would still work, and then I ended up finding the piece that had broken off still attached to the micro switch. I was like, "Oh, there's the piece right there." So
micro bitch,
I was able to super glue that thing right back on. Works like a charm.
Nice.
So that was good.
And this Battle Zone, what is it? Is it the herp face or
nope?
The herp
cabaret.
Cabaret, nice.
Herp, it's a herpine.
That's the
herp
one I have. I like it.
Yeah, you know, horning in on my shit.
Or though I feel weird, you know, like all my other Vector Ataris are upright, and I have Red Baron. I'm thinking, maybe I should have the.
I like the herp face.
The upright. Herp I don't face. Like the herp
think
face.
I think you should have a live periscope that comes down, and you can make it a Red Baron battle zone.
I don't want to put my face in that thing.
Why? It's like, it's so good. It's
you
immersive.
Should have, you should wipe it with alcohol or something first.
I said you should have like a wiping station. Like
yeah, but alcohol wipes right next to it. Yeah.
I can get those from work. I mean, I could have a box of those next to it, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the, if you're going to go with the upright, I feel like you got to go with the fucking scope version.
Yeah, the open face ones for pussies.
But the cabaret. Is all in the wrong
the
place.
Cabaret is
the cabaret
best
is dope.
Version. Yep.
I really cabaret. Like it.
Cabaret number one.
I coins down. As in, you're full of shit.
I like the cabaret. I know another local collector is a big fan of putting a clear plex on it instead of the smoked plex, so you can see the artwork on the inner bezel better.
Because you really can't. Yeah, Anthony, he's got a clear one on his.
I think it looks pretty good.
It does look good.
Not good enough for me to do it myself.
Not good enough for me either. Still have the smoke. I actually put a new smoke on mine.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, because it was scratched.
Just blow some smoke on it?
Yeah, mine came from the Tri-Cities, and I paid a pretty penny a long time ago because that was the version I wanted.
What was a pretty penny a long time ago?
Long time ago, a pretty penny for Cabaret Battle Zone was like $700 or $800.
Ooh, that coins down.
Is that plus shipping?
Plus shipping. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
but it works.
It worked, yeah.
And
it worked.
It still works. Yeah, it still works. And see,
that's more.
Luckily, I had a. He was shipping another game to Portland, and he said for like another $100 he could get it shipped for me.
Oh, nice.
So there you go.
I've actually owned 3 Battlezone Cabarets.
Wow, wow!
But I kept the best one.
I remember turning like a broken one down for $500. I'm like, no, nope.
I would also turn that down.
Yeah,
that's like the working price, to be honest.
Yeah, I forget what I paid for mine. I think mine was $450, $500 or something. I drove up to Tacoma to get it, the one I have now, and I think I got the other one for $200, and the last one, I won't say how much because I sold it for way more to someone local.
Ooh. What are they worth? $1,000?
Oh, my God.
Everything's $1,000 now.
Not those.
Not those? 2,000?
500.
Oh, fucking jump
that?
Bugs. Jump bugs, 2,200.
Nah, it's not.
You can ask anything you want.
That's right.
OBO.
OBO.
OBZO.
What do you guys think of jump bug for 2,200?
Too much.
Yeah. Overpriced.
Eyes is better, so that's worth like $4,000, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
5.
Definitely.
Are you selling it?
No.
Maybe.
10.
Would you sell it for $5,000?
No way, man.
Oh, really?
I would.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Of course I would sell it. Jesus Christ. Of course, yeah. I bought it for like $50 or something. I mean, yeah. And then, I restored it. I bought all the stickers and all that bullshit. And
so now it's worth $5,000.
Put the plastic on it. You know, that's fine. But yeah, there's not even $1,000 in that. That's for sure. Yeah.
I don't even think there's $1,000 in the $2,200 one.
$500 into it. Yeah, they're easy games to restore. Mm. Yeah, you get all the stickers from Rich.
Yeah.
This old game, he's got them all.
Yeah. Yep. What else in Battlezone, Brian? Yeah. That's it?
Nope. Well, I had to replace the green overlay, and I wasn't quite sure what direction to go on that. And our green. Friend, Island Pirate... put me in a WhatsApp conversation with Vert Vic from the Tenpence Arcade. So shout out to Vic on Tenpence.
What?
And he suggested going to an art store and getting some green acetate, which I did.
I could have told you that. You didn't have to speak to someone from across the pond just to say, pence down.
Well, don't you know that? People love a British accent. You listen to,
yeah,
just the way it is.
You weren't in that chat room.
You figure that's intelligence right there.
Yeah.
Accent intelligence.
So I did that and got some nice green acetate to put over, and it worked pretty well.
Did you have the red piece on top already?
I did have the red piece already.
Excellent.
Nice. So the red piece is original. The green piece is
fake bullshit.
Original.
Filter gels is the other thing you can get.
Big, yeah,
big it's the same. It's the gel. Same exact thing. They're all the same.
It's red acetate from the art store is the same as a filter gel?
Yes, it's the exact same thing.
Okay. We have art stores because we're...
Blick, man.
This city is full of people who are artists.
Yeah, the one of the main manufacturers is called Clearlay.
Oh, yeah.
Clearlay.
Name of your porno.
Actually, it's not that.
You need to get a piece of acetate.
Acetap. Yeah,
acetap that ass.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's a company or it's a manufacturer, but they actually can give you free samples. Oh, no, we're going to abuse it now, but shit. don't abuse it.
Yeah, but all for you. Don't fucking go get those.
Edit that shit out, but also get us free samples. 12x12.
I have like 24x24.
After the fact, Brandon told me that he had plenty of green overlay that he could have given me, but... Apparently he was just keeping that to himself.
That's what
you get when you fucking mingle with another podcast.
He's been telling me he's got Omega Race overlay for me for 20 years now.
You need one?
I don't have anything on my Omega Race.
I can get you that.
It's white.
So I also cut a new back door. Is that exciting?
Yeah.
New back door.
Name of your porno.
A new back door.
New back door. I'm asking.
Cutting a new back door.
Yeah.
So, yeah, shout out to Dylan for hooking me up, getting me hooked up with the Battle Zone. Shout out to Brandon for hooking me up with the power brick that is sitting in the bottom of the cabinet. And to Ian for helping me sort out those ROM issues.
Yep.
It takes an arcade village.
It does.
To fix one Battle Zone.
Damn, I didn't do shit.
No, Jordan is just sitting back. Putting a new door in his house.
Yeah.
New door.
A new back door.
New back door.
Acetate gels on my window.
So I got a little more on the, a little further on the tapper as well. You guys want to hear about that?
Fuck yeah, of course go we for do. It.
All
yeah.
right.
and then I'm leaving.
So I got the pins from Ian last time and got the power brick all wired up and tested the power boards, and neither of them worked.
Oh,
neither
shit.
Of them gave a consistent plus 5 volts. So I currently have a power rebuild kit on the way for that. So hopefully that will be sorted out quickly. The control panel has been all put back together, so the tap handles in the Galaga joystick bases seems to be working well. The grommet that's on the other side that stops it because it's only going one direction.
Oh, ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
Yeah. I need to figure out some kind of solution for that, so if you guys have any ideas.
Drill a hole and then rubber stopper thing.
You can get... So pinball flippers use a similar setup. They have a rubber stop for the crank on the armature. So you could get some of those and then drill holes in the joystick bases and slot those in there.
All right. Give it a shot.
There you go. Problem solved. Next.
Or if you want to really cheap out, you could probably do some kind of stick-on, like, footy thing, like...
Little furniture,
oh, like yeah, a little yeah. furniture foot that mm-hmm. you stick on the bottom, but not, you know, on a small scale, a little rubber thing.
Yeah, fall it has off adhesive
after, like,
and everything.
Two taps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Two taps. Two
you just wrap
taps.
Some electrical tape around it. It's fine.
Get, what do yours look like, Jordan? I mean, you got the right tap well, handles on your shit.
Yeah.
It's a bigger grommet. If you look at the Galaga joysticks, there's a smaller grommet for each side because you're going back and forth. So right. on the one side, it's just this larger sized grommet or whatever you want to call it.
I call it a bump stop. Yeah, and it what there's a hole drilled and it pops in or
is there's
drill a hole through it and put a machine screw in it and you're good.
Is there
oh you could have like a little foot that gets screwed into from the other side. Yep.
I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah. I'm just saying drill hole and fucking
oh we can look at mine. We'll pop my control panel off and like
is totally there now I'm wondering how it's sprung, right? So it springs back to the middle position. What are you doing for that? That's not a grommet that does that.
It's pretty
is it?
Much controlled by the leaf switch. The leaf switch.
Yeah,
kinda,
but how does
the leaf
no,
switch kind of pushes
something that returns it to the center position?
No, yeah. The leafs. Yeah, there is no like no, grommet really? That brings it back.
Well,
yeah,
I wouldn't expect a grommet. I would expect a spring.
No, they're pretty yeah. floppy.
Yeah, they're pretty floppy.
They're pretty floppy. It's just you know how the leaf switch is the yeah, leaf, yeah. and then there's mm-hmm. that extra leaf that's yeah. actual the spring.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's mm. it.
And then yeah, it bumps when you let go. It bumps back up against a rubber.
Seems like that would just like.
Yep.
Cheap not, bullshit.
Seems like it would loot. Seems yeah. like it wouldn't. It would eventually just kind of like sag.
No spring. We'll look at mine. Maybe the spring is stronger.
I've got a picture of your control panel in my phone.
Oh, okay.
Jesus. All right.
So yeah. So that that's back together, and also the coin door is back together and installed. So that's where I am.
Oh, cool. Nice. You got a new coin door then, because your other one was all beat. It looked like someone kicked it.
I got a coin door from Drewster on Clove. It was the frame nice. And the door, and it had some of the parts still on it. So I was able to take that plus
some extra holes.
The parts from my other coin door and make one nice one.
Doesn't it have like 4 holes in it? You should put like 4 credit buttons in that thing.
Doesn't have any holes in it.
It doesn't?
Nope.
Oh.
Fuck. Buy a holy fucking...
Yeah. We'll fix that.
Holy yeah. Let's put some credit
break out
in
my
it.
Dremel.
Yeah.
So that's it.
It's going to look like an ice cold beer play field when I'm done with it.
Put fucking marbles in your coin door.
Do you sell your pole position?
No.
No. Nobody wants it.
Some guy's like, "Do you still have it?" I'm like, "Yep." And that was it. That's my favorite way to respond to people when they say, "Do you still have the game?" I'm like, "Yep." And then
that's it.
I don't want to say like, "Do you want it? Do you want to come look at it?" I just say, "Yep."
No, I just yeah, I just have it. Yeah, I got your answer.
You can be a grown enough man to say, "Well, I'll come look at it then."
No.
Yeah.
Question answer.
So, what about you, Jordan?
Working on games. I turned them all on and had people over like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Had a little party for Brian's birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you, but I didn't bring him a present or a cake or anything. But
you brought him games.
Some bullshit birthday.
But yeah, but anyhow, I turned all the games on. I think everything worked except a couple of vector monitors didn't want to come on. I think I think Quantum, it was my fault. I think I didn't plug it back in. And Black Widow, I'll figure out what the deal was. But everything else seemed to work. Had, you know, just a smattering of local arcade collectors there. And then a few casuals, just a few of my soccer friends. And just fun to watch what games people like to play. Fire Escape was a new game that a lot of people hadn't seen yet. It seemed to be very popular the whole night. The other game that was very popular was, of course, Warlords, four-player cocktail. Thanks again, Steve. Can't thank you enough for that.
Played that a bunch.
And, yeah, we all played it. Lots of people played it. It was you know, I had to kind of show people. I had to kind of say, hey, come, look at this. Look at this. And then once people sit down and play it, they don't leave. It's a nice, comfortable game to play for a long time.
Maybe their feet hurt.
It could be. They might be tired of standing. But there are other places to sit. Yeah. It's not just standing room only. But those were two games that I noticed were popular. I don't know what else. You know, it was pretty varied. I had a couple friends, a couple of my soccer friends who were actually just played games the whole time. I don't know if you guys noticed, like Wes and Abby, like never stopped playing games. They were just like into it the whole time and just getting their competitive juices out there or something.
Was that their first time visiting your game room?
Second or third, actually. Mm. Yeah. At least second.
Hooked. They're hooked now.
They're hooked. Yeah. They were totally into it. And they're younger. They're not as old as us. And so they don't have the nostalgia, but so it's kind of fun to watch them find the games that they like. And, you know, I said I don't like to be the game room, what did I say?
Monitor.
Attendant or whatever. Yeah. But if it's people who don't know how to play a game, and I think if you just show them, I think they want to, and if you just give them a couple pointers and they get into it, I don't mind doing that.
That's not being an attendant, though. That's like talking about the gameplay and stuff.
My wife kind of mentioned that to me. She's like, you know, you shouldn't get mad about people who don't know how to play your games. They didn't grow up with those things, you know? And isn't that your whole point, that you want people to enjoy them? You know, if you have to say a couple sentences to let people know what it's all about, I mean, isn't that what you're after anyhow? So take your time.
Well, you got your shit told off.
Don't be so selfish.
That was the nice way.
No, I'm adding into it. But yeah. Because I'm always like, I just want people to play the games. And leave me alone.
You're an asshole.
But that's not really what I want. I want people to enjoy the games. And to really have fun, you know, experiences of these games and hopefully get addicted to them the way I am. And they will live on and on and on and on.
You're like, come on, man, it's Kroll. It's obvious how you play this game.
It's Kroll 1-1. Don't you know who he is?
You piece of shit. Get out of my game room. I made an effort to play some games that I had not spent much time with. So I played some Defender there, and it's still too hard.
I played Defender the next day or later on in the week. God, I suck.
Yeah. I got to like the second fucking level. Jesus. And that's it. It was really bad. I played Gravatar a bit more than I have had a chance to like just sit down and play or stand up and play. I like that game the more I play it.
Yeah, it's Gravatar a really great game. Awesome.
Yeah.
Coins up.
Coins up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it actually would be a good one to sit and play. That is like a cool, chill game. It doesn't make like a lot of noise and stuff. Like, you could play that with someone sleeping next to you, right? Even the shooting is just barely.
I love floating. Like you're about to crash. You thrust up and then like you just use that inertia, and then you just turn, fire, boo, 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 turn.
It's very nice.
It's good. It's good.
I played it more than I've had a chance to play it before, and I did a lot better than I've done before. So I really enjoyed playing that one more than Defender.
I think I played a lot of Major Havoc that night. I wanted to like play Major Havoc again. It's been a long time, and I wanted to get back into it and get a little better where I was before. Mm-hmm. So that was fun.
Nice. Good stuff.
Still debating whether to move the Atari football down.
I have to play it still. I've never played it.
Where are you going to put it if you move it down?
Next to the post, like by the Midway cocktail, And Tron Distatron, like over
put
by
it
the
on
bar.
One cocktail on either side.
Yeah. You can butt it against the post, and I don't think you'd be in anybody's way. You know, it's a standing cocktail, mm-hmm. and you kind of come around the side anyhow when you play it.
Yeah.
So I think you'd still be able to, because I like that row over there, the Distatron, Tron, mm-hmm. Monaco GP, Eyes.
I've been saying for years,
Krull.
Remove that fucking couch. Burn it.
What else is there? What else? There's one more game right there.
Missile Command.
Gyrus.
There you go. Yeah, Missile Command got moved over to the corner, the 1980 corner.
Oh, I didn't notice that last time.
It's over by Stunt Cycle and Warlords.
Stunt Cycle, another 1980 game.
And where the...
That's 80?
No, I think it's like 78.
No,
yeah.
That's the joke, fucking.
God. Get with it.
I said the 1980 corner, but it's not. Yeah. But that's now the vectors continue around over to there.
As they should.
But yeah, it was, I don't know, new layout. Might have been the first time I had people in the more new open layout. It was nice. There weren't a lot of people, like, I don't know, 15 or something. So plenty of room for everybody.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
I like that open area with games now instead of being useless.
Yeah.
Not having games in it.
Useless.
I'm into it.
I think it's too far to walk to that corner. You might need a little e-scooter to get over there.
It does seem like...
Hoverboard. Hoverboard.
Yeah, hoverboard.
But the Warlords draws people over to that area, so that was a good
thing.
I didn't play any other game in that whole area. Not one.
That's probably the best game in that corner. Yeah. So,
I didn't plug Stunt Cycle in because I didn't have an extension cord.
Omega Race is over there.
Oh.
Yeah, I think I played Omega Race.
Yeah, Omega Race is better than Warlords.
Yes. Not a cocktail.
It's way better.
All right,
coins
cool.
up.
Yep,
coins up.
What's better? Coins up or
coins?
Omega Race versus
coins down. Coins down would be like you're putting it in the coin slot.
Jesus,
so isn't that better?
Is Omega Race better than Warlords? Coins up? Or coins?
No, it's not.
What?
No, it's not. No, Warlords is so much fun, and casuals and seasoned veterans all have a good time playing Warlords.
That doesn't mean anything.
I think it depends on whether
you're playing by yourself you're going to be bored.
If you're playing Warlords by yourself, it's not quite as fun.
That's true.
Therefore,
but Omega Race by yourself is tons of fun.
But by yourself, Omega Race is better. Good point.
And it's a vector.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
There you go.
All right. Is that an episode?
That's an episode.
Woo! Give us a call at
503-766-2263.
And if you get featured on the podcast, we will send you a sticker if you include your address at the end of the voicemail.
That's right. Go. We only include the most select voicemails. We definitely do not play
all
both of the ones we get.
Not
in
those
between
terrible
episodes.
Ones. No.
Sometimes it's just hard to choose, you know?
Yeah.
We handpick the voicemails. Only the best.
I think before each podcast, we do like a coins up, coins down if we're going to feature that voicemail.
That's right. So if you have a coins up voicemail.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for the ones that we got today.
Yeah.
And thanks everybody for listening.
And let's play some games.
All right.
Till next time.
Woo!